Welcome to 2018. Happy New Year. And welcome back to the Cheapest Podcast. This is episode number 7. It has been about 6 months since I've done a podcast episode. And I've just been slammed during the year 2017 since then. Finding that balance between life, work, and Muay Thai. And I'm sure many of you can relate to how selfish and demanding this sport really can be. And at the same time, how giving and rewarding it is. But you got to keep your ducks in a row and your priorities clear. And I did have to take a little reset this year, and that needed to happen. And I'm grateful and that it did, and glad that it did. And I'm happy to be back to podcasting and to be recording this episode today. And my guest on today's episode is the former It's Showtime 61 Max kickboxing world champion and the current Lion Fight lightweight world champion, and that's Sergio Wilson. Sergio happens to be one of my very favorite fighters, and he pals around a lot with Regan Irsel. Regan Irsel and Sergio Wilson are good friends, and I caught those two together on Lion Fight, and I've seen them online together, and I was immediately amazed by them and attracted to them right away. And so I sought out Sergio Wilson to have him on the podcast after I noticed that he was slated to fight Lerdzilla, the ever evasive and prolific Muay Thai fighter out of Thailand. Back in the spring, back in April of 2017, Lerdzilla were slated to go after Sergio's Lion Fight belt at Lion Fight number 36, but Sergio never made it to that show. And I was like, man, whatever happened to Sergio on that show? I wanted to see that. And so that's what really spawned the impetus to seek out Sergio and invite him onto the podcast. And luckily, he said yes. So Sergio and I, we get into his journey as a world champion Muay Thai fighter and his thoughts on Muay Thai in the U.S. from his perch in Europe. And so with that, let's get into the podcast. Yeah, what's up, bro?
Cool. I'm good for sure. Yes.
Sergio Wilson. You know what I do? Yeah. I always walk around and I say, Sergio Wilson. How do you really say your name?
Sergio Wilson.
Oh, so it is Wilson, yeah?
Yeah. But it's just, I don't know where the name's coming from, but it's sort of, that's how my name is.
Yeah, it's interesting because you're, you know, I mean, I don't know everything about your career. Like when I first saw you, it was on Lion Fight.
Yeah.
Against Onion Topic?
Yeah.
Topic? That was a great fight.
I wanted to finish like a knockout, but
you got pretty close.
I was making points, but still trying to find a good opening to finish it, just to end it all, you know?
Yeah, I saw you go for that with that left elbow.
Yeah.
You crept in, you know. You were looking to take his head off for sure, you know.
For sure. And that's the thing I've been not only practicing a lot, but just repeating just for myself because I like it, you know. Just it feels comfortable just to attack with the first hand, the jabbed hand, you know, mm-hmm. instead of the right. Because everybody trying to attack with the backhand, but that one you'll see it coming. Mm-hmm. But in front, you'll forget it. You'll just. It's like the jab, you know. You forget it. You just let it, accept it. Like, okay, it's not that hard.
I feel that way about my my front teep. I use the front teep more than the back teep. Same way.
Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, I try to do the same thing. So look, man. First things first. You know, Sergio Wilson. Let us know. I know you're from Suriname. But see, I'm always confused about Holland, Amsterdam, the Netherlands. I don't know. So where do you live, bro?
I live in Holland. I'm from Suriname originally. I came here when I was, I think, almost nine years old. Uh-huh. Since then, I've just been in Holland and just been here in Holland, Amsterdam.
Cool.
It's like there's Holland, there's Amsterdam, the sort of main city, and uh-huh. then there's the Bijlmer, like sort of the ghetto, sort of. Man, it's not really a ghetto. We have too much privileges here. You can't really call it ghetto.
That's,
you know?
Nice. That's good. Yeah, because we got some ghettos here in the States. You know that.
That's a whole different story.
Yeah, it's a whole other story. So, you know, let me ask you this. I saw you I saw you win the belt, the lightweight belt with against Onion. So congratulations. You're still walking around with that Lion Fight belt.
Yeah.
So let us know that Lion Fight belt, man. I mean, what is it doing? What has it done for you winning the Lion Fight world lightweight belt, even though you're in Europe? I'm curious.
For me, it was always sort of a dream, you could say, a dream to, because I think I've been looking at Lion Fight for 2 or 3 years now, and I've been thinking like, ooh, I really want that belt, and it looks really nice, and the guy that's fighting for the belt, I think I can take him, man, for sure. So that's what in my head, and I found a manager that could connect me to Scott to finally fight for Lion Fight, and boom, that got fixed immediately.
Very cool.
Just been looking at him, the guy, for a long time. Like, okay, he's a good fighter, but still, man, I can win for him.
Wow. Sure. So, I mean, from where you are, way across, you know, in Europe, what makes that Lion Fight belt attractive to you?
To me, it's for sure. It's one of the only organizations in America that does Muay Thai on that level, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think nobody else, right, that does good Muay Thai in America, or
it's interesting. You know, that's one of the reasons why I want to talk to you. Right? It's so important to me to talk to you, man, because you have a very special perspective, because you're deep in the sport, but you're not here in the States.
So
so it's very interesting to me to get how we look from somewhere else, some objectivity. You know. Americans, you know, we just think there's America and then the rest of the world. That's it. It's just America. You know, we forget. Yes, there are other promotions here in the States. There are other really, really good promotions. They're just not on TV.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you're with the right promotion. Scott Kent, Lion Fight, they're fucking really doing it, and they're bringing the world's best to the States to fight. So it's incredible. On that note, what happened to Lion Fight 36, man?
When I had to fight, you mean, right?
Yeah, you were supposed to fight Lurtzilla.
Man, that's just one of the most painful. That's the first time. I think it's the first time in my career that I canceled the fight ever. Like, I always, even if I have an injury, I just fight. I'm like, I doesn't care. I just want to go and just do my thing. Because I've been training, and then there's injuries, and I'm like, mm-hmm. I have to do it. But this time I had like, I can't like really explain the where it precisely is in my groin. Like, you could say I tore a muscle over there.
Sure.
I was making a knee, and the distance wasn't as I thought.
And you pulled it, you stretched it.
Yeah.
Oh, you know the word you look for is hyperextend.
Hyperextend. Yeah, I hyperextended my how's it called?
Your groin muscle. Yeah.
My groin muscle. Yeah, and so it was a sort of a crack sound, and I was like, what the fuck? Ouch. And then the pain came in, and I stood still and I fell backwards, boom, and I was like, okay, this is, nothing's going right now, like, because I had an injury also with my knee, and then that one healed, and then I had the groin overextended, and I was done.
I was sitting there, I tuned in, I turned on the TV, no Sergio Wilson, there's Lurtzilla, that was going to be a fucking good fight.
Oh man, I can't wait for that fight to come.
That was gonna be good. That Mr. Lightning against you. Oh man, that was gonna be good.
Because he's really strong, you know. Like, I think his kicks are strong and he has good technique. So that's gonna be a really interesting fight for me for sure. I've seen people that have good boxing and also Muay Thai dominate him. You know, like before, and is when he was even better than now. Mm-hmm. Because he's a little bit older now, so. You know, nature, modern nature takes away a little, you know, every time a little bit, you know,
yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
But he was a lot better, but he got dominated by people that have good boxing and good Muay Thai skills also. So I'm not really fearful because I'm not the type of guy that fights with his hands low. So
No, you don't. Yeah, that's true.
Well, I'm not super, super worried, but I really want that fight. I really want to like prove to the Thai, just the people, just that I'm a good fighter still, you know. I can kick the Thai fighters their ass too, because from now I think I've lost from two Thai guys and I've won from two of them. So okay.
Yeah, it's gonna be. I knew it was gonna be a damn good contest because Lurtzilla, he's a master. He's a master, and And you too. I mean, but you're, like you said, you're young still, and you're at the top of your career. I was going to be so good. I mean, it was still a great fight. I give a lot of credit to Scott over at Lion Fight, you know, because they didn't just let it go away. You know, they got another opponent, and it was good to see Lurtzilla on the stage, and it's good to see him fight. But we were missing you, man.
Well, that's important that the guy tried, you know, just it was his first Muay Thai fight.
Dude, it was his fucking debut fight against a guy who's got like 200 fights.
It's crazy. It's crazy, but I admire his heart, but it's really...
Me too, yeah. Man, but that shit was crazy. Well, okay, so let's get into the interview. So, you know what? Instead of going through a big, long thing, I've heard this, we've all heard of Dutch kickboxing.
Yeah, for sure. Everybody has heard a little bit about it.
What is Dutch kickboxing?
Dutch kickboxing, I think, is more a sort of a strong basic style that works against a different kind of style. It's like this basic left-right hook, right low kick, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a really basic and really simple. But from there, you can develop your style into anything, actually, I think. Because some people have great strong style that they like to kick a lot and stuff like, or some other people have the style they like to punch a lot. So that's what the sort of a mix of Dutch kickboxing is. But from start to bottom, I don't know where it precisely comes from, but because before my time,
right.
Never researched all that stuff. I was like,
well, you know, I asked the question because I think what's happening here in the States is we are giving birth to American kickboxing.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
We're mixing our like Western boxing and you know, all our weird stuff. We're mixing it in, which is, I guess, what you guys did.
Yeah, precisely. Because the thing is, I now know from America, they have great boxing. Because you have great boxers, mm-hmm. and you can go to a great boxing gym and get trained by a really good trainer so that your boxing is strong. And all you need to do is, I don't know, just pick up on a little bit of kicking, and then you have a great style. You know, it's easier, I think, for you guys for the boxing part, because here in Holland, we don't have any amazing boxers or whatever. We just have a few, you know.
Well, then how the hell are you creating all these amazing kickboxers?
Because the boxing style is really basic for a lot of the kickboxers. I think when they get to a certain level, they change it up because they feel freer to move around in the ring, because before they always get like a really basic style. Nobody trains like really difficult, you know. And in the ring, some people have just the talents. Your talent just comes out, you know. Like he just sees all the openings and combinations and stuff like that. Some people just have that talent.
Rigi and Irsel and you.
Yeah, he has more of he just has a mix of a lot of things. Like he finds the openings easy, and he knows, and he has the power. So,
and the reach, and he's got the length too. Shit.
Yeah, sure, he knows how to use his reach. You know, he doesn't like some. We have some guys at the gym that they're tall, but they punch short. So
that's my problem.
It's easy for me to get close and just to work with him. You know, but as soon as they start punching, throwing long punches, it's difficult. It's really difficult to fight with him.
That's good to hear, man. That's good. That's good to hear from me. I have to remember that. That's good. Yeah, because my coach is always yelling at me, Charles, stop it. Use your length. What's wrong with you? You know. So I have to do the same thing.
Yeah. Sometimes it's just automatically, you know, to go and do that.
So I mean, is there a difference in your for you? Is there a difference between kickboxing and Muay Thai?
Yeah, it is for sure a difference. You should feel safer in kickboxing, but I don't feel safer in kickboxing. I feel safer in Muay Thai because a lot of the kickboxers they don't feel safe in Muay Thai because there's elbows and they're scared of that. And there's a lot of hard kicks. So it's for them, it's a little bit difficult, but I feel comfortable in Muay Thai because Muay Thai is, I don't know, sort of a dance, you know, that's how I feel Muay Thai is, like sort of a dance. We don't do stuff like crazy hard at the beginning of the round because you know you have 5 rounds. Mm-hmm. It's like the breaking down process is bigger, it's longer, you get more time, and the pace is a little bit slower but still really fast because it can shift up and just change on you any second, you know.
Let me ask you this then, in your experience, what does the crowd like more? Does the crowd like to watch kickboxing more, or did they like to watch Muay Thai?
I think when I just started with kickboxing, Muay Thai, sort of, we have a sort of a mix here in Holland. We do the knees, we do everything except for the elbows. That we just leave that one, that out, only that. But before, everybody liked, really liked a Muay Thai style, like clinching, everything. They understood it, and everybody was just enjoying it. But then K1 came and changed it all up. Like, the K1 came, everybody was like, no, we're going to do shorter rounds, faster. We're going to end the events earlier. Mm-hmm. Everything easier. The crowd is going to like it. So they changed it up. But for me, I like Muay Thai still more than kickboxing. Oh, my bad. It's my...
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, no, I feel you. How is Glory over there, where in your part of the country?
Glory is big for sure. It's one of the biggest. It's the only place I think you could probably really get good exposure, like, for a fighter.
Really?
And also, there's a few other ones. This Infusion, but it's sort of... from the people that started Showtime, and now it's Glory. It's a whole mix of everything. But there's a few small organizations that are doing great, great things over here.
Now, you fought on It's Showtime before. I do know that. I didn't see that fight, but I do know that. I think I did see a piece of that. You fought some guy whose name I can't pronounce, but I know you were on It's Showtime. So It's Showtime and Glory, are they the same company?
No, it's not really the same company, but I think they got bought or whatever, and the people from It Showtime that were organizing everything, they went into Glory.
Oh yeah, so we call that a merger.
And they're big now, so they're doing their thing.
So are you fighting those on those promotions, or are you still strictly Muay Thai?
No, I think this year I'll probably have some more Muay Thai fights than kickboxing. Mm-hmm. But still, the Glory is a different. It's really difficult because the weight class is difficult for me. Because I tried one time, I fought Kaponlek at Glory, mm-hmm. But the weight class is 65, and Kaponlek is from 72.
Okay,
72 kilos. So he drops the weight, and the next day it feels everything's back where it's supposed to be, the weight. So it's difficult for me to fight at 65. So I have to drop. I better fight at 61.
Uh-huh. Wow, so yeah. are you dropping weight to fight, and has dropping weight been a problem for you?
No, four kilos or something like that.
It's not much.
It's not really difficult. Okay. To do, or the Lion Fight is treating us, man. Then it's easy. We have a sauna, we have a spa, everything. Then it's easy to lose the weight.
Wow. So that's good. So are you doing well? Are you making money?
Yeah, for sure. I'm making money. But now, with the injury, I'm just taking a rest. I can't really work. I'm just training a little bit, just trying to stay in, obviously, keep moving so that my muscles don't get, I don't know, not used to the boxing.
Yeah, I feel you. So are you making more money outside of America? Or did you, when you came here, you did pretty good. You made good money.
Yeah, for sure. I made good money. But America is... I think Lion Fight is also growing, you know, so you can't expect to get like, how's it called, the biggest prizes from Lion Fight or whatever, because mm-hmm. they're a growing organization. Every time they get bigger and bigger, every event. So I think I probably made more money in different countries, you know, in different kind of countries, not in America.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm sorry, what did you say?
But it's not really an issue because it's close to what I want. So it's good.
That's good. That's really good to hear. I mean, so what do you think about, what do you and your friends over there in Europe think about UFC and MMA in America?
A lot of us, we like UFC for sure. We like the KOs. We like the whole Conor McGregor style and just getting into people's head and fighting them or whatever and beating them. I mean, like the whole thing, everything. But I don't think it's easy for a K-1 style fighter to switch over to UFC. Mm-hmm. Because and I haven't seen a lot do it too. Because maybe Giga. Did it.
Oh, yeah, well, you know who else? We watched Malipet Sasiprapa. He tried.
Yeah.
It didn't go very well for him. Now, no. Gaston Bolaños.
Yeah, he's doing it well.
He's doing it, but he's just a killer. I mean, that guy. He fights out of a great gym here called CSA, but he's done well in MMA. I hear Tiffany Vences just did her first performance, which I need to research that one. You're right. I mean, we got the Conor McGregor, and we've got like, is Michael Venom Page, is he big over in Europe?
Michael Venom Page, if I see him, I'll probably know who he is, but his name doesn't say a lot to me right now.
He's a British MMA artist. He's a black guy, tall, skinny, but he's a really, very big character. Mike Venom.
He's a real good fighter for sure, but it's not like we see or hear a lot about UFC fighters in Europe here in Holland, you know? I don't hear a lot about them fighting. Maybe if they are on a card, then I'll probably go check them out or whatever on live stream or whatever. But it's not like a whole spectacle here or whatever.
So what do you hear about from American fight scene over there in Holland?
American fight scene? Mostly, I think, Lion Fight. I hear a lot about UFC, not really, but because... It's probably because there's like a lot of kickboxing here, and then there is a little bit Muay Thai also. Everybody likes Muay Thai also a little bit. So that's why we hear more about Lion Fight than UFC. UFC is interesting for sure, but it's more for the wrestlers and MMA guys. So
do you think, man, do you think that America will ever really like Muay Thai the way they do in Europe?
I think they already do, but they need to be educated on the way that it's different. You know, it's not just standing up and just throwing punches and just see who lands or whatever. There's a whole culture also into it, and how you are supposed to, not supposed to fight, but how you fight. Because we kick more.
Like what you said when you said it was a dance, when you made the difference between Muay Thai and kickboxing.
Precisely, like kickboxing is high tempo. Who has the best endurance and who can hit the hardest and who can find the openings the best? That's all. Boop, 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 boop. High tempo. You try to dominate the guy. But in Muay Thai, there's a lot of sort of a whole dance into it. Before, I think now 1 year now, I really understand Muay Thai because I've been to Thailand and I've just been talking to the people and trying to understand why. Sometimes I was looking at fights and I'm like, that guy won. How can they, you know, but I didn't understand it at first. But now I understand a lot better. And it's also a sort of thing with points, but also who looks the strongest throughout the whole round, every round, you know. Maybe even in the beginning you don't look so strong. But if you look good in the last three rounds or two rounds, then you're good. Then you're going to win for sure.
Wow.
So. It's a whole different thing. I didn't understand it at all. Somebody told me, like, we don't really focus on the first rounds. Only that's why when you watch the Muay Thai videos, they always start at the second or the third round.
Sure. Like, yeah, the first round. Yeah, they do the feeling out process. I mean, that's why Lion Fight is so important here in the States, because they have these two announcers, Pat Miletich and Michael Schiavello. Yeah. And as they talk, they are really, really explaining to America what the heck is going on in the ring in front of them, you know. They're talking about all the little insights and, oh, the feeling out process. And, you know, it's very, very, very important.
Explaining it for everybody.
Yeah. No, that's very cool. I mean, so what's coming up next for you, man? What are you doing next? I mean, well, first, before you tell me that, how's your injuries doing?
My injury is healing, how it's supposed to heal right now. I've had some slip-ups where I'm used to just sometimes going hard, and I want to go in. And
you got to take it easy, man. Take it easy.
Then it starts hurting again, and I'm like, okay, cool. I can't really go full out, so I need to just stick to technique. And just every time when I train, that's the same day I'm also working on my legs and movements and stuff like that just to get it stronger, you know, get my muscles stronger again, and so that I can do what I can do normally, what I used to do.
So what's coming up next then?
What's coming up next? I was hoping to fight again for Lion Fight. We're discussing when is the best time to do it. And after the fight with Lion Fight, I'll be probably fighting in... close to England. I don't know precisely where it is, but I'm going to be fighting close to England. It's also a really great show. I saw a few good Pespunchi fought there, a few other Pakorn fought also there, and now I'm the guy that's going to be fighting there, so I'm happy about that.
And that fight that you're doing that's in England, what is that, kickboxing or is that Muay Thai?
That's Muay Thai. It's going to be a tournament, eight-man tournament.
So do you know the name of the, do you know the name of the promotion?
I could send you how's it called? I don't know the
promotion. No, you know, here's what we're going to do. You're going to tell us where are your links on your social media links so that we can follow you, so that when you have those fights, you just post it and then we'll know where it is. What's the good link? Are you on Instagram or Twitter, or what's your favorite one?
Sure. Just my first name and my last name. That everything is, you can find me everywhere. Do that on Facebook, on Instagram, on, just name it.
Facebook, anything. Instagram.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, so then my last thing I wanted to ask you was, do you have any advice for us as Americans, for the young people that are like really thinking about getting into Muay Thai? Any advice from you, you know, that, what do you have to say to the American Muay Thai scene? Hey, America, here's my piece of advice for you guys with regard to Muay Thai.
Okay, I have two things that I wanted to say for sure. For the people that are just starting, it's a painful process, and it's like frustrating to also learn how to use your body the right way, and also stay motivated, because there will be times that you don't want to go to the gym or whatever, but the best thing what you can do is just keep going, because that's the most important. Like, it's almost like 90% of everything. Like, if you don't go, you're not going to learn, and you're not going to get better. You're not going to experience. So if you just keep going, even when you don't want to, just grab the bag. If you want, you can leave one glove at home. I don't know.
But you know? Go to the gym.
Go to the gym, and just, even if you sit down and watch and just look, you'll see everything from a different perspective. Just so stay motivated, keep going, and grow. Try to grow as much as possible. For the people that are already doing the sport, I would say work more on, because what I think we as fighters can do better, like the UFC, the way they work better on their social media. We as fighters, we don't work so good on our social media, like kickboxers, Muay Thai fighters. We just throw stuff on it. I'm not really good at it, but you're going to see the difference now. I'm going to try to change that. I'm trying to do it more professional, because it's too, just, okay, I'm going to upload this. Done. Yeah. Nothing special. No? So that's what I think for the people that are already fighting. Work on your social media. Let the world know that you love the sport and that you're doing the sport, and try to bring as much as possible people into the sport, you know, just to, I don't know, grab a nephew. Hey, come, let's go training. No, I don't want to, just go, you know, like that, you know, just bring people into the sport, and so that they can feel the love, you know,
from that. Is perfect. That is perfect advice. When you come back to the States, I'm going to be watching you. I'm going to be watching you, Sergio. I'm going to be watching your social media. When you come back to the States, hopefully maybe we can get you while you're in the States. Maybe we can get you to pop into Los Angeles, maybe do a seminar at one of the gyms or something. Nope. Yeah, it would be really cool, you know?
Yeah, I would like that for sure. Yeah. But, man, it was a nice interview. Thank you for considering me, for sure, as a person.
Man, thank you so much for talking. There's only one Sergio Vincent. There's only, you know, only you have your story. I love watching you. We love watching you. You're super explosive. You know, I have another question for you. What's that nickname that they call you? What is it?
That's a name. Like, the first day I came to the gym, was training, doing my thing, and there's a girl there. She always gives everybody a nickname, everybody. And she was like looking at me like, what can I give this guy? And I was the smallest guy there, so they called me Little One. No.
Little one, that's what it is. Okay.
For a long time, you know? You don't want to have it when you're older, big guy. Not a big guy, but a man, you know? Like, people calling you Little One. What the hell? Doesn't sound good.
Oh, man. Well, it's deceiving, because when the Little One comes into the ring, you can still get those head kicks up really, really good, man.
Yeah, I do. Do my best for sure, man.
For sure. Well, brother, man, thank you so much for talking to me. Give my best to Regan Irso. Tell that cat that we fucking love him over here in America, too.
Actually, like, do it together with him. But he was It's also too late for him. You know, you're not going to call him over.
Yeah, man, you guys are a really good pair, man. You and Regan could come over to the States together, and you could like. Did you see what Senshai and Yakow just did recently?
No, I didn't see that.
Man, they did a whole tour. They did a Yakow boxing tour. Okay. So Senshai came over with like two other Yakow fighters, and they went all over the country, New York, like New Jersey, like Chicago, LA, Denver, all over the country. And they brought gloves, they brought gear, shin pads, and they did all these. And Senshai, he was just like sweeping everybody and laughing and kicking people and giggling and smiling and switching his feet, and people were just cracking up. I mean, you and Regan could do something like that, and America would love it, man. We would love it.
I would love to do that, but we have to, I don't know a lot of gyms or whatever in America where I can, like, okay, that gym in that country.
We know that, so we're gonna talk to you together. We're gonna talk with you. We have other organizations here. There's a big group here called the USMF, the United States Muay Thai Federation. They work really, really hard on promoting the entire sport. They know every gym and every tournament all across the country. So they're a company. I'm gonna talk to them and make sure that they know about you. We have lots and lots of great gyms and great gym owners here, and they all know you. So it's coming, man. It's coming little by little. You have a great attitude, and you have a great personality. And you and Regan, just understand, you and Regan are a great pair. You're a perfect pair to come over here to the States and really teach us some stuff and have some fun. So something to think about. You guys talk about that, and we'll keep talking about it. Maybe we can make it happen.
Cool.
All right, my brother, thank you so much for talking to me. You have a great rest of your night.
Man, for sure. Take it easy, bro. Okay, right. Enjoy.
You too. Bye-bye. Ciao. So there it is. That is the man, Sergio Wilson, originally from Suriname and living in Amsterdam, and the current Lion Fight lightweight world champion. This has been the Teep This Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. Lots of things coming your way in 2018. I look forward to seeing you and everyone in the gym and at the fights. Until then, live well, laugh often, love much, and train hard. Sawadee krap.